June 12th is a red letter day on the calendar for another reason. 50 years ago today, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case of Loving versus Virginia, ruled that all laws criminalizing interracial marriage were unconstitutional. The couple behind that decision were Mildred Loving, a black and Native American woman, and her childhood sweetheart, Richard Loving, who was white. They were married in 1958 in Washington, D.C., but when the newlyweds returned to their home state of Virginia, they were arrested under that state's law, which banned interracial marriage, sex, and cohabitation. Yes, that happened in America. At one point, at least 41 states had racial purity laws on the books, making interracial love and marriage a crime until the Supreme Court struck them down. Jamie Floyd is an attorney, legal analyst here at WNYC, and the local host of All Things Considered. Her parents were married in 1956, 11 years before the Loving decision, and she joins me now to talk about the 50th anniversary, the decision's effect on her life, and a new project she's launching today on love, race, and identity in Trump's America.
Obviously, these relationships have been going on since colonial times in places, perhaps most of all, like Virginia. The Lovings themselves grew up in a small rural hamlet. They lived in Central Point, and it's way out. I mean, you have to drive a long way. It's an unincorporated part of Virginia, and it has a history, John, of race mixing. These two were childhood sweethearts. They didn't even really think they were doing anything wrong. Most of Richard's friends were mixed-race people. His best friend was Mildred's brother. She was black and Native American, but in the Jim Crow South, she was a Negro. And he was a white guy. He drag raced cars. He was a brick mason by day. And they decided they wanted to get married. Now, they couldn't get married in Virginia, so they went off to Washington, D.C. to do it. But then they came home to live with their friends and their family. And pretty much right away, the newlyweds were arrested. They got married in 58. And in early 1959, the cops burst in to their bedroom in the middle of the night, and when Mildred pointed up at their marriage license, the sheriff said, "That's no good here," and hauled the couple off to jail, Mildred too, and they were tried and convicted of a felony.
And so that arrest became a cry throughout the entire moral majority political debates of the 1980s and 1990s. So this had a huge impact, even though we don't remember the decision. We don't talk about the decision as knowledgeably as you do.
Well, that's right. I mean, the court recognizes the fundamental right to marry in this decision, the right to privacy in your bedroom. And this becomes, you're correct, the cry of the right. But when it comes to the oppressed that the Constitution is supposed to protect, say African Americans or gay Americans, there's a long fight, a journey to the realization and the recognition of those rights for all Americans.
Isn't it ironic that the cases that legalized gay marriage revisit the exact same issues?
They do revisit the exact same issues, though the gay marriage decision, Obergefell, in 2015, almost 50 years later, doesn't rely entirely on Loving. They rely on a bunch of different cases, civil rights cases for sure. But I think, John, Loving was the cultural precedent for the gay marriage decision. Mm-hmm. It opened the hearts and minds of the justices to recognize gay marriage as a fundamental right for all Americans.
How did your parents talk about this decision?
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because the Lovings were not activists. They weren't marching on Washington. They were very simple people who just wanted to live their lives in rural Virginia. But my parents were activists, and I was raised on a steady diet of civil rights litigation and cases. I knew who Justice Thurgood Marshall was, and I knew who the lawyer Thurgood Marshall was before that. And I knew all about the Loving decision. My parents were married 2 years before the Lovings. When they were married, even more states had these insidious laws. It was difficult for my parents to get the blood test required by law to allow them to be married. So my parents traveled to three different states before they could find a doctor with the courage to violate that law. And they did find the doctor in Chicago, and they were married in Chicago. And they suffered untold discrimination. I cannot tell you. I mean, my mother, the white person in the relationship, was fired from jobs when her employers would find out she was married to a black person. But they decided, we're going to New York. And here we are.
Hmm.
But New York was a tough place. I mean, it is not, you know, you think New York, progressive, free, kumbaya, not so. There weren't very many interracial couples in the 1960s.
Yeah, what population? What population did this have an impact on back in the 1960s?
Well, even now, John, as the explosion in multiracial and interracial families, couples, and adoptions occurs, even now, the black-white dating relationship and marital relationship is still the slowest growing relationship.
You call this the Other Box Project.
Yeah. Why is it an Other Box Project? First of all, I've been checking that other box my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to check that box anymore. I want to not be perceived in this society as other than.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many projects, tributes, books, efforts out there about the Lovings and even about multiracialism.
Mm-hmm.
This is an effort to bring them together, to create a constructive conversation that moves us forward as a nation. With Loving, we had a court case, but we'd already had centuries of race mixing in the bedroom, in our neighborhoods, in our kitchens, in our friendship circles. So it was precisely the reverse. Now, we still have proms that don't allow interracial couples. We still have judges that won't officiate at interracial marriages. So very occasionally, we have to step in with the law. But this isn't about the law as much as it is about love and society. And it's not about the courts as much as it is about us. And I say that as somebody who loves the law.
Right.
And believes in the Constitution. But I think the Constitution's done its work in this realm.
Jamie Floyd, host of All Things Considered, WNYC legal analyst and creator, curator of the Other Box Project. Thank you so much for a fascinating discussion.
Folks who are interested can check it out at otherboxproject.org.
Remember that the Other Box Project on Love, Race, and Identity, it launches tonight at New York City's Green Space.